of the people of God, to my limited understanding, in a week of meetings or any other time throughout church life, the most important work is that of prayer. Prayer is the means by which needy and frail humanity can make contact with the power and ability of God Almighty. Prayer is that bridge, and that prayer can be from a young child who can barely talk yet, but they can pray that God would speak and would do his work. It can be by the oldest member of this church who maybe because of health reasons isn't even able to attend these meetings. But if they're praying, somebody out there, whoever they might be, God can use their prayer, and it is the most effective and most powerful tool in a time like this. Because prayer is the connection point. It is the link between the needs that you and I are facing in our lives, in our homes, in our congregation, in our community. It is the link of power. It's the link that brings divine power down to earth. It's prayer. When God's people pray and his word is preached, whether in any regular worship service or in a week of meetings, God's spirit is free to do what he will in the brotherhood and among our neighbors and friends. In any case, when good things happen in the family of God, when good things happen in the congregation, when good things happen in the community, when souls are saved, when saints are revived, when young people are encouraged, when that happens, no credit dare go to any man. No credit. The Lamb is worthy. The Lamb of God. We read that again and again in the book of Revelation. Worthy is the Lamb. No other one. The Lamb of God. So with that in mind, we'd like to look into the scripture tonight. And I don't know why it worked this way, but I guess the Lord put it on my heart to speak out of the book of Psalms tonight. And I hope the verses are simple enough and easy enough that even the younger ones among us can understand. We're going to pull some select verses out of several Psalms tonight, and starting in Psalm 80. And in case you wondered, the title tonight is The phrase that we read at least three times in the Psalm 80. And the title tonight is Turn Us Again, O God. Turn us again, O God. And that to me is what revival is. Because the best of us in our Christian experience, whoever it might be, who is really intent on walking with the Lord tonight, there might be just that one or two things that they need to turn more toward God. And if tonight our steps are not in God's way, if we are walking in carnality, if we are walking in worldliness, if we have never given our heart to Christ, the call is the same. Turn toward God. Turn our face toward God. And Bible says if we draw nigh to God, what will happen? He will draw nigh to us. That's right. He will draw nigh to us. And when God sees a human, poor and needy as we might be, and as far from where we ought to be as where we might be tonight, we might know that we're a long way off from God's perfection for our lives, but if he sees that our faces are turned toward him, he will very, very quickly observe that and come to our help and be right by our side to give us power and encouragement and all that we need. Turn us again, O God. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel. I'm going to start reading in Psalm 80. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, thou that leadest Joseph like a flock, thou that dwellest between the cherubim, shine forth. Before Ephraim and Benjamin and Manasseh, stir up thy strength and come and save us. Turn us again, O God, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. Down to verse 7. Turn us again, O God of hosts, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. Go down to verse 14. Return, we beseech thee, O God of hosts. Look down from heaven and behold this vine, the vineyard which thy right hand hath planted, and the branch that thou madest strong for thyself. It is burned with fire, it is cut down. They perish at the rebuke of thy countenance. Let thine hand be upon the man of thy right hand, upon the son of man whom thou madest strong for thyself. So will we not go back from thee. Quicken us, and we will call upon thy name. Turn us again, O Lord, God of hosts. Cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. When we think about another translation of this gives the word of restore us. Turn us again, O God, and restore us. O God, restore us. Which in other words is revive us. Help us. Do we feel need in our hearts tonight? And I was touched with what it says there in verse 14. Have mercy on this vine. I realize that the Psalms all have a direct interpretation and an application to the time in which they were written. I realize that. But I want to draw some parallels for us tonight. And the whole context here that is probably something that the children of Israel related to better than we do in some ways. But did you ever think about it this way? Oh God, look down from heaven and behold this vine. I don't know what's on your minds this evening. I don't know what prayer requests have been circulating in your hearts these days. I heard a few of them tonight. But God, have mercy upon my own need. God, have mercy upon my wayward child. God, have mercy upon the need in my own spiritual life right now. God, have mercy. Look down from heaven on the emotional need that so-and-so is struggling with right now. The physical need that they're struggling with. The marriage that is having on rocky terms right now. God, have mercy upon this vine. Are we concerned about that? Is there anything in our minds tonight where we're saying, God, please do something. Turn to us, O Father. And we turn our faces up, and God says, okay, can I do something for you? And whenever we get closer to God, we get closer to each other. It's been a while since I thought of that, but think of it tonight. You and I might be miles apart in our thinking and in our agreements about stuff. Husbands and wives sometimes are very distant one from another. Sometimes young people from their parents, they find themselves very distant one from another. But when we turn toward God, the closer we get to God, the closer we get to each other. At least that's the way it should be. Just never forget, if you're struggling tonight in marriage or in your relationships with your parents or relationships with church authority or whatever it might be, the closer you get to God, the closer you get to each other. Turn us again, O God. And then you look at the condition of the situation that's on your mind right now. Whether it's a child, maybe it's a physical need, maybe it's something the doctor just broke news to you, and you don't know what to do about it. If that's the case, you might think it's just like this it says here. It's burned with fire. It's cut down. Looks like God's against us. There's no hope. Is there help anywhere? Verse 17. Is there somebody that can help me in this situation? And then when God shows us, he shows us a path. Maybe this will work. Maybe a little more time. Maybe another visit. Maybe another appeal. Maybe another confession. Maybe God brings something to our minds. And then we'll tell him, so we will not go back from thee. Quicken us, and we will call upon thy name. And the more we see God doing stuff, the more we want to talk to him about it. Isn't that the way it works? The The more God is busy and active and we see him do this little thing and that little thing and that little thing, we thank him, we praise him, and we keep drawing closer to him. That's the way it should be. I don't know what the condition is here. I don't know the people and the needs. But I know of a young lady that prayed again and again, "Oh God, heal my church." Why did she pray that? There was needs in the church. There's worldliness in the church. And she prayed often, "God, heal my church. God." Do you think God cares about that? He absolutely does. If there's needs in your family tonight, if there's needs in your marriage, if there's needs among your neighbors, God cares about that. Turn us again, O Lord, God of hosts. Cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. Another verse that stood out to me as I was thinking about this, and here again, it's just random verses and maybe random thoughts, but it comes from Psalm 81 and verse 10. Here again has its application to the children of Israel, but we're going to talk about it anyway. Verse 10, "I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it." Do you know that William Carey once said, "Expect great things from God, attempt great things for God." The Bible teaches us in the Beatitudes of our dear Lord Jesus, "Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." And sometimes we sing that song, "Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Open your mouth wide and I will fill it." And you know how it is? You've probably seen birds in a nest. Whenever the mother bird comes with a worm in her mouth, what happens to the mouths of the little birdies in the nest? Wide open, right? And to see who gets this one, or to see how she divvies that thing out. Their mouths are open wide. But you know, this evening, and in our lives as Christians, there's a time, sometimes, when we feel a little dry. We feel like we're needing something we don't have. And we just need to be as dependent as those little birdies on the help of God Almighty to come and give us something that we stand in need of. And we stretch our hands. "Father, I stretch my hands to thee. No other help I know. If I withdraw myself from thee, I'll whither shall I go?" Do we have that dependency? Do we feel that need tonight in our hearts and lives? God wants to do something for us. Do we believe it? Do we trust in that tonight? More verses could be shared, but we're going to go over to Psalm 84 now. Verse 11. "For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walketh uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee." God is a sun and shield. A sun to give light, to give direction, to help us through the dark world we live in. And he's a shield from the temptations. He's a shield from the affront of the enemy. He is a shield from the buffeting that comes our way sometimes. He is a sun and he is a shield. God, the Lord will give grace and glory. Oh, how we need the grace of God. Oh, my dear friends, how much we need that grace. If you ever travel up some interstates, and I'm not sure how close those big warehouses come to this area. There might be some here. I don't know the area well. It's been a long time since I was down in these parts. But if you ever see one of the humongous warehouses, just think of yourself, and I'll just use the illustration, Just think of yourself coming to one of them huge warehouses. And imagine that warehouse being full of the grace of God. And you need it for today to get through that test tomorrow in school. You know you cannot do it yourself. You know that you've got something, you got to talk to an employee tomorrow morning at work, and you are not happy about needing to do it. It's not easy to do it. You know you have to once again correct the little one for something they did wrong, and you see God say, God, I need grace. And you go, as it were, with your little, open your hands outside that warehouse and said, God, is there any grace inside this building for me? And you know what? God has plenty of grace in there. And if we all come at the same time with whatever recipient, bucket or whatever, to carry some grace away, there's plenty there. And for the whole wide world, there's grace. And for whoever needs it, there's grace. But you know, it takes us coming to God and saying, God, I need some right now. And opening our hearts up and opening our, turning our face toward God and said, God, I need you right now. I need you badly. And God gives the grace. He giveth more grace. Abundant grace. All the grace that is ever needed. Exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. His grace and then glory. You know what? When you feel that God has ministered in your life, when you feel that God has made a change in some one of these areas we've been talking about, you know what you want to do? You want to say, thank the Lord. Praise God. And you want to tell somebody about it. You want to say, you know what happened? Praise the Lord. And God gets glory. And he gives more grace. He gives more mercy. He gives more patience. He helps us in those areas of need. Oh, Lord of hosts, turn us again, O God. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. Are you trusting God tonight? Is your face turned toward him? Is God able to handle the situation that's on your mind tonight? Blessed is the man that trusteth. And you know what? Trusteth gives the idea is trusting. Day by day trusting God. Having faith in God. Believing God. Believing that what he says is real and true. And trusting. But you know, that's hard for some of us to do. We do calculations. We think dollars and cents. We think it through it mathematically. What's the chances that this won't work? And sometimes all we need to do is say, God, it's yours. Take over. Take over and trust in him. Do what we can in the meantime, absolutely, but trust in God. You know, if we trust in God, he'll never let us down. He'll never let us down. He'll provide that which we need. Not all we want, but he'll provide what we need when we need it. Now we're over to Psalm 85. There's a lot more in here that we could talk about, but we're going to 85 and verse 6. Actually, through the end of the psalm here. Psalm 85, 6. Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Show us thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us thy salvation. I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace unto his people and to his saints. But let not them turn again to folly. Surely his salvation is nigh unto them that fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. Mercy and truth are met together, righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. Yea, the Lord shall give that which is good, and our land shall yield her increase. Righteousness shall go before him, and shall set us in the way of his steps. And I guess I would like to suggest to us tonight, whenever God does his reviving work among his people, the question is, wilt thou not revive us again? For what reason? That thy people may rejoice in thee. And when we turn our faces toward God and God answers a prayer and we feel his working among us, we rejoice, don't we? We thank him, don't we? We praise him. At least we should. Show it, and then we ask God for more mercy. God, show your salvation not only to this person, but to the next one. And we'll never get done because there's always more that are in need. And there's more need in my life and more need in yours. Grant us thy salvation. But it requires that we hear what the Lord will speak. As we pray and as we read the word. A couple years ago, I talked to a fellow, and he says, I'm a new believer. He said, I don't hardly know anything about the Bible. He says, I've made so many mistakes, and I could tell a little bit about his life, but it was so interesting visiting with him. And he says, how in the world do you put all this stuff to practice? I said, my dear friend, it's just like this. Tomorrow morning, if you get your Bible open and you see that the Bible says, let not the sun go down upon your wrath, and you know that today, or whatever day it is, you were a little bit aggravated with somebody, and you said some things you shouldn't have. Before you go to bed, and as soon as you have opportunity, you go back and apologize to that person. And then tomorrow, if you get your Bible open, and you see that it says, be patient toward all men, toward all people that you encounter, whether it's a clerk behind the cash register that's just learning how to push those things, the maneuvers that cashiers have to do, and you're in a hurry to get out of there, be patient toward all men. And if some person's, you had to stop because the flashing lights were on there when somebody needed to cross the street, have patience toward all men. It might be a 76-year-old lady that just got a hip replacement, okay? Be patient. Take your time. The customer can possibly wait at least those whatever seconds till somebody gets across in front of you. Be patient. I said, just do that little bit today and tomorrow. And I said, after a while, if you take those little commands of God, even though it's a small amount, and make it part of your life, you'll soon find out that you will grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and the Savior Jesus Christ, because you do it just a little bit at a time. But you know what? That was to somebody that scarcely knew the gospel and didn't know where to start or stop. But it applies to people that were born and raised as so-called distinctive people. It applies to us all, because we all need to obey the word of God. And we need God's help to do it. It says here, the Lord will speak. He will speak peace unto his people and to his saints. But let them not turn again to folly. And I don't know what you think folly is, but I just wrote down a couple things here. Did you ever think of the folly of idolatry? The folly of idolatry. The folly of. I was sitting in a little group on Saturday evening. And because of the group I was in, the people that were there, they said, did you hear that Matt Perry passed? Did you hear that Matt Perry passed? I didn't know who Matt Perry is. Today I actually saw a news line about him. And they said, oh, I used to watch a show with Matt Perry. Oh, it's terrible. Yes, it's sad that Matt Perry died, okay? It's sad when any person dies. But for somebody, he was possibly a hero. He could have been an idol. I'm surprised how many times I see people who are trying to reenact and reinvent the characterisms of an Elvis Presley, of a Marilyn Monroe. They've been idols, and they still are. They're still icons. And stand, and they're all out there. But it's a folly. Because that which men hold up, carnal men lift up in grandeur and splendor, in the eyes of God, it's abomination. And it takes people away from Christ and away from godliness. It's so sad. The God of entertainment. You drive down the road when it's still dark outside through our little town, and you see huge flat screens, probably never were turned off all night long. And who knows what the volume was set at. People entertained and entertained and entertained. They get on the airplane and movies and this and that. earbuds in the ears. You can't talk to them a cold word the whole flight long. They're entertained. And I tell you what, a couple years ago I was with my grandmother when she was still living, and I walked down through the aisles of that old people's home, and here this person, just barely, just a thread of life left, with oxygen at the nose and nurses running in and out of the room to make sure all the vitals were still there, and watching NASCAR on the screens, anything else, entertained all the way to the gates of eternal damnation, could I say? Entertained. I know some of those people probably didn't know better. Could have been some visitor that turned it on. But people live kneeling before the God of entertainment and its folly. Turn us away from folly. Turn us to God. Turn us away from folly. The God of materialism. You cannot serve God and mammon. Turn us away from the folly of any other sin of the flesh or spirit, but let's keep perfecting holiness in the fear of God. And it happens when our faces are turned toward Him. Turn us again, O God. Psalm 86, verse 10. For Thou art great and doest wondrous things. Thou art God alone. Is there another God in your life? Is there another God? Is there another idol? Is there one? The songwriter says it this way: the dearest idol I have known, whate'er that idol be, help me that idol to dethrone and worship only Thee. And God knows this evening, if our hearts are turned toward Him, or if there's some other God that has our attention. In drawing near to God, He needs to be magnified. Thou art God alone. Teach me Thy way, O Lord, and I will walk in Thy truth. You know, if you look at one of these, I think there's some towers around here on these mountains around here, these big windmills. And from a distance off, they look kind of small. But the closer you get to them, the bigger and bigger and bigger they are. And then you see how big the blades are. And you see how tall they are. And you know what? Sometimes for us, God is some distant object out there. But the closer we get to God, the bigger He becomes in our thoughts and minds and hearts. Thou art God alone. God and God alone. Is He God in your life tonight? And then we say, teach me Thy way, O Lord. Unite my, I will walk in Thy truth. Unite my heart to fear Thy name. When God reigns, as the songwriter said, reign without rival, supreme and alone, when God is that way, I want to unite my heart to serve Him. A divided heart makes for a double life. It makes for a double tongue. And many other spiritual maladies. Did you ever watch somebody who is trying to please God and please the devil at the same time? Trying to halfway get along with the church? And yet all the worldly stuff just pulls them so hard. The entertainment and stuff we've already been talking about. Those follies of the world. Oh, they just like to hang out with this group of people. Oh, on Sunday morning we want to be good. Yeah, we want to go to church. Yeah. But they're a divided heart. Their heart's not united to serve God. And you know what else happens? Whenever they're living a divided life, then there's a double tongue. They know how to curse and swear and carry on sometimes on this crowd and tell all kinds of things that they shouldn't. And yet, oh, yeah, I believe in Jesus. Yeah. Seriously? The psalmist says, unite my heart to fear Thy name. We need a united heart. A single eye. Jesus says, if thy eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? We need a single eye focused on God and God alone. Many have tried to live a double life, Many have tried it, but it's impossible to please God and please the world very long at all. Friendship with the world, friendship with the world system, friendship with politics, friendship with the entertainment world, friendship with the world is enmity with God. Makes us an enemy of God. But I do want to emphasize tonight, Jesus was a friend of sinners. And any God, a godly man or woman, needs to have at least one sinner on their prayer list, somebody that they're praying for. I tell you, we must learn to be a friend to those who are in need. The down and outers, we need to be a friend and know at least somebody that needs Jesus. The psalmist here is asking God to teach him so that he can walk in truth and to unite his heart to fear God. Godly fear needs to eclipse all other passions and all other desires. What motivates in our lives the fear of men? You know that there's some people tonight that aren't Christians because they're afraid of what somebody's going to say. They're afraid of what somebody's going to think of them if they take a stand for Christ. They're afraid of what's going to happen to them if they take a stand for Jesus. And I just saw this statement read the other day. I would rather stand for God and be judged by the world than to stand with the world and be judged by God. Think of it tonight. Shall I for fear of feeble man, the Spirit's work in me restrain? You know, so many people tonight are scared of their relatives, scared of the cool group, scared of. What would happen if I really, really, really gave my heart to God and turned my face toward Him and served Him with my entire being and my entire heart, soul, mind, and strength? What would happen? And they're scared and they don't do it. I just was impressed then with verse 87, Psalm 87, verse 6. It's talking here about people that are numbered, people that are written down, people that are born again. And this is an entire message in itself. The Lord, notice verse 6 of Psalm 87, the Lord shall count when he writeth up the people that this man was born there. And then it says Selah. Is your name written in the book of life? Is it written there? Is my name written there on the page white and fair? In the book of thy kingdom, is my name written there? Can you imagine God looking down that list of names? Is your name there or isn't it? And God's going to count the people, it says. And he will write them up. The ones that enter heaven's gates. That sounds to me like a challenge. That sounds to me like something we need to work on. If God's calling us tonight, and if His Spirit is asking us to make some changes tonight, He's writing up names. As people give their hearts to Him and follow Him as His disciples, He writes their name down. There's many, many scriptures that prove that. Is your name written tonight? Think about it. The Lord shall count when He writeth up the people that this man was born there. Have you been born again? Do you know if it happened or when it happened? I'm not sure what all the Lord is going to lead us to speak about this week, but that there is a huge one. Have you ever been born again? Have you ever given your heart to Christ? The Lord shall count him when he writeth up the people. Psalm 89. I just want to pull a few verses here. Verse 1, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. When our faces are turned toward God, when we are turned toward God, we will see more and more and more of his faithfulness. And with our mouth we'll talk about it. We'll tell people about it. And we see more of that in this passage. Verse 6, for who in the heavens shall be compared unto the Lord? Who among the sons of the mighty shall be likened unto the Lord? God is great and to be feared in the assembly of the saints and to be had in reverence of all that are about him. Think of it. Reverence in God's presence God is to be revered and worshiped in reverence and in holiness. Verse 11, the heavens are thine, the earth also is thine. As for the earth and the fullness thereof, thou hast founded them. Verse 15, blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. In thy name shall they rejoice all the day, and in thy righteousness shall they be exalted. When God takes his rightful place in our lives, good and holy things can happen. When our faces are turned toward God, when God turns us again, as the title is, Turn Us Again, O God. When we see God as we ought to see him, we will find our place as well. We will know where we belong. When our heart is united, when we ask him to help us to walk in his ways and to teach us his word, he will be very faithful in doing that. When our lives are pure before God and man, we can honor the word of God, and the testimony of our lives can be much more effective, and revival can occur from the inside out. Do you know where revival begins? Revival, if we're talking about revival, it starts inside our hearts and minds, and then works out in our words, in our actions, in our behavior, in our attitudes. It works from the inside out. Now we're looking at the Psalms this evening, and I'd like you to turn now to Psalm 139. I'd just like you to, we'll just let this message be as it has been shared. If God spoke to your heart this evening and you would like to make some acknowledgments or some amends, seek someone after the service and take care of that. But this evening, I would like to make three recommendations for us so as to better utilize this week of meetings, so it can have a better effect in our own lives, in my own life, and in the lives of those we love. Three little suggestions. These are optional, okay? But if you would like to try them, you may. Number one, give a word of compliment or encouragement to a brother or sister in the congregation. Give a word of compliment or encouragement to a brother or sister in the congregation through this week. Maybe God will put it on your mind to say something to sister so-and-so, to brother so-and-so. A young person that's struggling, give them a compliment or a word of encouragement. Do you know what? Compassion is always and always will be stronger than ridicule. And encouragement is a lot stronger than criticism. Number two, spend some extra time in prayer this week. Let's just do a small calculation. I don't know what your membership is here, but I'm just going to make an estimate. Let's say it's 50 members. It probably is more than that, but let's just guess 50. So what happens if 50 people decided this week they're going to pray 5 more minutes a day? Just for the figure's sake. You know, that's 250 minutes of time. That's 4 hours of combined time of prayer. Just imagine what God would do if we just spent like 5 more minutes in prayer this week. And then just keep it up next week, okay? Keep it up. Prayer is the key to God's working among his people, in our own lives, in our communities, in our congregations, and among our neighbors and friends. Prayer is the key. I told you to turn to Psalm 139, and to conclude this message, I would like if we could read out loud together the last two verses. And I would like us through this week, to pray with all sincerity these two verses, but tonight we're going to read them out loud. Okay? We ready? Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. With that, let's stand for closing prayer. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you that you have promised in your word that if we will draw near to you, you will draw near to us. And Lord, we pray that you would work in our lives tonight and through this week and in the days that follow, if you so tarry. Father, we know that Jesus is coming any day and any day soon. And we know that it's so possible that we'll never see the end of this week because Jesus could come. And Father, we just ask that you would do your work in our own hearts and lives so that others who are in need could be touched and blessed, so that your kingdom could grow and your work could be done and your will could be done in earth as it is in heaven. May grace, mercy, and peace, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with each one. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Depart in peace.